Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien, in the studio with Barty McKinnon.
Hey! Bardia. Hello!
You're very excited.
I'm super pumped up to be here, man.
Yeah, no, look, it's good to have you here. Yeah. Look, a little bit of housekeeping first. Okay. This is the second last show before our Oz Comic Con bonus stage spectacular.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, as I'm calling it. And we've got two awesome guests coming on that. We have Mr. Scott Ludlam, or Senator Scott Ludlam, from the Australian Greens. He's going to be talking about games and stuff. We're probably going to get him to talk about his favourite hunting games. So, you know.
That's hilarious.
And if he doesn't have any, we'll get him to play some.
Cabela.
Yeah.
Get on the Cabela's. Great.
Duck Hunt.
Great.
I
would hardly call Duck Hunt a hunting game. Like, it's not
it's
really...
It includes in the name, yeah, right? Duck Hunt. Yeah, right. Duck Hunt. Yeah, it's a gritty, realistic story about a man...
I would play...
A man who's trying not to shoot barrels.
I'd play the Rocksteady version of Duck Hunt.
It's when you really... You've got multiple protagonists. You play the duck.
Yeah.
And the dog.
And the dog.
You know, and from different worlds, yeah. But somehow they get along.
Yeah, I'd play the hell out of that. It'd be sick. It wouldn't be. Don't
no,
make that.
Don't make that game.
Don't waste your time.
And a really exciting guest... Mm. Rufio!
Yeah, yeah.
From Hook, Dante Basco, a.k.a. Prince Zuko, the fire-bending badass prince.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
We're a video games show, and that these are our guests.
I know. Well, I mean, Dante does a lot of video game voice acting, and Scott Ludlam is specifically talking about why there should be more funding for Australian games.
Very
so,
important.
Really exciting. Check the details out for that on our website, bigheadmode.com.au, or giantdwarf.com.au. That's where you can book the tickets, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Anyway, we're talking weird games
tonight
as well, Bards.
Yep.
And
we certainly are.
Yeah. See if you can figure out the link why I thought weird games would be an interesting topic on the show we review Metal Gear Solid 5.
I couldn't tell you, Ben.
No correlation.
You. No, I can't get it.
Okay.
At all.
Well, we'll get
Let's
to
just
that.
Carry on.
You douchebag.
It's so weird.
They're all so bizarre. I love it. I love it.
There's just something about that game. It's super weird. And if you explain it to anyone who hasn't played it, they just give you that weird, baffling look.
Yeah.
But like when you play it,
you
makes
it.
Sense.
But it's
makes sense to strap a parachute or a bloody air balloon to a goat.
You accept it.
You might need that goat later.
You accept it.
That goat could be a really great helicopter pilot, and you never knew it.
You never know.
Until
yeah,
you
it's weird because
the
everything else in the game, like the majority of the game, is so serious, and yet it's got all this other sort of weird crap, which we'll get into.
Yeah, we will. And I want to talk about other weird, because it's not just Metal Gear Solid. There's a lot of games out there that do weird stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was going through the list or trying to come up with some, oddly enough, a lot of them worked, too. So there might be something to it, to the weird game thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make our own weird game, hey?
We should just make a game, and it will be weird. Like, we are not
we
in any way qualified to make games. I guarantee it'll be weird.
Another game you and I were playing the other night, you and I recently got the Taken King,
Destiny
expansion. It's been a long time for you, hasn't it?
It's been before House of Wolves, which was, I think, expansion before this one. That was the last time I played. It's been like six, seven months.
I always forget the name of it.
House of Wolves.
Dark Below.
Dark Below was the last one.
Yeah, and I don't think you even finished a lot of
no,
the Dark Below.
Absolutely not. No. Still haven't finished any of the raids. So like, I have had a lot of time off, and I was sort of reluctant to get back into it, but played the Taken King, and boy... I'm back. Like it sucked me in again.
I just finished I'm doing air quotes here for the listeners.
Yeah.
I just finished the last story mission of Taken King.
Son of a bitch.
It's not.
What?
You finish that and then there's just heaps of endgame stuff.
Oh.
There's like six new strikes.
Oh.
This is the coolest thing I reckon I've noticed. So, I mean, strikes, they're just one of those things that in the original game they were so much fun that you just ended up doing them more than you did other stuff, I found.
Yeah. Totally. Especially once you'd finished all the sort of story stuff, content.
Exactly.
Story content, again, air quotes.
Yeah. Except it got so fucking boring, because you're doing the same, like, whatever it was, however many strikes were in the original. Like,
yeah.
Not many. Six,
they were
five
just,
or six.
Yeah.
Seven, if I'm being generous.
I don't even think there were that many.
No. Well, you're doing the same ones over and over again. And so now, in total, there's like over 12 strikes or something. Plus, they've added this mechanic that randomizes enemy encounters.
What do you mean?
I did the same strike twice in a row last night.
Yeah.
It's completely different. Really? One time in the first, it was that strike in the on Mars. If you haven't played Destiny, strap yourselves in. It was the strike on Mars. We have to kill that dude with the huge minigun, the big Cabal guy.
Oh, yeah.
So you go into that big fortress area and you fight waves of Cabal. Mm-hmm. First time I went in there, mm-hmm. full of Taken instead.
Weird.
Yeah, second time I played it, the next stage of that level where there's the big open area where you have to kill the three generals, mm-hmm. that was just endless waves of huge Taken enemies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's great.
It just sort of makes that, it gets rid of that grind of, and it's, oh, I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they've also added this thing that, I think it's called the Vanguard bonus or something. So Vanguard streak.
Yeah.
So if you do a few Vanguard things in a row without going back to orbit, it increases your chance of getting legendary engrams. And so it's like once you see that streak pop up, you're like, I can't live. Oh, this is my life now.
I live in the bonus.
Meanwhile, they're back in the tower. They're going, Guardian, come back to the tower. We need you. Yeah. No! I'm on a streak!
You don't understand. They're like, have you seen that Guardian around recently? No.
I feel like, in the tower, they're like, yeah.
We got some shit
Nathan,
going on.
Nathan Fillion, I feel like maybe introducing this whole Vanguard streak was a bad idea. I haven't seen any Guardians around the tower for
about
2 weeks. Yeah. Nathan, fill in. Nathan.
Quiet!
Ah, no! Quiet, I'm on a streak! you're not even down there! Yeah.
Shut up!
So a game that didn't already need to be a bit more addictive now
is a little bit more addictive. Yeah.
And I think once we've played the full amount, I think once the Vault of Glass, the Raid, whatever the new Raid is and all that stuff is out.
Yeah.
We're going to need to do a full review because it's way bigger than I thought it would be.
It's changed a lot. The game has changed a lot since I played it last in the last 6 months. So playing it the other night, it was very refreshing. I will say it is
like one thing I didn't realize too. This whole light level thing, the higher your light is, actually dictates better loot
still
dropping.
Still have no idea how that works.
Yeah, and you don't understand things at the best of times.
It's true.
Let alone when there's a lot to take in.
Sometimes I forget how to do everything.
That's true. But you got that sentence out, so well done, you buds. Hey, you're ahead of the game.
I hate everyone.
We talked about it a little bit last week on the show, but new Dinklebot. Nullbot. Name pending.
343.
Go on.
Oh,
what do you got?
I don't know, Ben. It's late.
This is going to be an open-ending competition, I think, for anyone listening. And I say competition because if you suggest a name, and we end up going with that name. Yep. I'll give you a Dungeon League Steam code.
Look at you,
yeah, Mr. Prizes, Captain Prizes. Help us come up with a better name.
Sorry, Captain Prizes.
A better name.
You just brush past that.
You get two of them if you can come up with a better name than Captain Prizes, but you won't.
You won't. I guarantee it.
Dinklebot and Dinklespark. There were Dinklage's name lent itself so well to the nickname.
Nolan.
And I find myself even now and then, when I pull out my ghost in Destiny, just going, good work, Dink. Come on, Dink.
Come on, Dink.
Oh, Dink, mate. And it's like, I don't know. Is he just doomed to be a Dink now?
I think he might be.
Maybe he is a Dinklebot.
I mean, we're all idiots, right? Us, specifically. So we're never going to not change his name. I think it's always going to be Dink for us.
Dink. What about, is there some kind of way we can work Dink into Nolan North's
name? I've been trying for days.
Nolan Dink.
Yeah, I said...
Dinkle North.
Ooh.
BRB listers will be back. I gotta go scrabble this down.
write it down.
He's grown on me massively. And it's not just... I don't just think he's better at the Dinklage lines, but a lot of the new dialogue is just way better than the original dialogue.
Look, it's all right.
There's some good bit. Like, there was a really funny bit in a mission I just played where there's a bunch of Vex just standing still, and I just started mowing them down, and the moment I started killing them, Nullbot goes, oh, wait, don't kill... You know what, never mind.
That's pretty good. The problem is, I want him to be Nathan Drake. Like, I want him to be...
crap.
Yeah,
while he's doing the alarms.
Well, yeah, I think that'd be so funny. It'd get, a portal vibe to it.
He's already got, four times the personality that that Dinklage ever had.
Certainly.
So let's just hope that keeps going, I guess.
So if you can do better than Dinkle North, Northlebot, what do we call it?
Northlebot.
Okay.
Name pending, shall we say?
Yeah.
Name pending.
Let us know.
Let's go to some music. This is all the music notes from Metal Gear Solid V's soundtrack. This is V Has Come Too by Ludwig Fossil. We shall be back after this to talk news. You're in 2RRR 88.5 FM. We are back. Buddy, halfway through that song, you went from going, I mean, it was a good soundtrack, but it just wasn't as epic as past ones. And like literally 5 seconds later, he went, this is so good!
Yeah, I did say that. No, the thing is, though, right, in the old games, you had like the... like the iconic like things. And this doesn't really...
But they only become iconic because they're great in the first place.
Yeah.
And there's some great music in this game.
Sing me that song.
No.
Okay, good. So, I mean, no one... I can't tell you a single song that is in that game. I can't, like...
Really? I can tell you. Take on Me,
Okay, well, you know what I mean, dickhead.
Should we go some news?
Let's do it.
We were talking Destiny before. Here's something that's pissed a lot of people off with Destiny. So, I mean, it might be peachy for people like you and I who have the new content, but apparently the release of Taken King has blocked a bunch of stuff for a lot of people.
What do you mean?
So, because it reshuffled a lot of, like, you know, the way the strikes are structured and stuff, I mean, you might remember previously there were, like, 4 or 5 strike playlists that you could do. Hmm. Now, if you don't have Taken King, it's just the 1 level 20 Vanguard strike.
Yeah.
And similarly, they've shuffled around some of their Crucible playlists, which I think, you know, for someone who has the content, it's probably better, but it does affect... It's an interesting one to me because, I mean, I think there's an understanding if you don't buy DLC that you're going to miss out on the newer content,
right.
But, like, sort of altering the content that you already had access to...
That's so dodgy.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's almost like it's a ploy to get them to buy the DLC.
No, mate, I see what you're saying, and this is Activision we're talking about, all right? I like to think that Activision have a little bit more care and concern when it comes to the...
do they?
Oh, yeah, they've got a track record by here for showing that they put the customers...
First.
Yeah. Not their wallets first, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah.
Look, it's a bit dodge. It's pretty dodge.
It's pretty dodge. I would be upset if I didn't already have it.
But you don't. So, suck it, nerds. No, it is annoying. It is weird, and I guess it's only going to be a matter of time. Like, maybe over the next week, as people play it more, we might realize the subtleties or the nuances that led them to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if those don't emerge, then it's, you know, Bungie will probably have some sort of serious explaining to do.
Almost definitely.
Another one that's a little bit sad for me. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is no secret room in Batman Arkham Knight.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know about the secret rooms in the Arkham games?
No. Oh, I know that... Oh,
like, you know, I remember how Arkham Asylum had that awesome room that basically told you where... what was going to happen with Arkham City. It had, like, blueprints for Arkham City and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a hidden thing in Arkham City that... Yeah.
Something? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That teased Arkham Knight.
There's not one in Arkham Knight.
There's nothing in Arkham Knight.
That teased Arkham Knight? Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It totally did.
Scarecrow's little hidden base with the...
Oh, great.
They're great. And so, Sefton Hill, the lead designer's come out and said, look, there's no hidden room, because obviously this is our last Arkham game. Mm.
Obviously.
Which, yeah, it's just kind of sad, isn't it?
Well, it is, because they know how to make a video game. But I would be very surprised if they didn't, in the very near future, make something that... I think they're going to make, like, a new IP. I reckon they're going to come
you reckon?
Something, yeah, something, like, crazy good.
I would be very curious to see what, like... I mean, I feel like the Arkham games really put them on the map.
Totally.
And just to see what they can do without a franchise... I don't know, it'd be interesting.
It'd be very interesting. I wonder how they... I think it'd be... I don't know. It could be great.
It could just be a real mixed thing, like... Because there's so much... I mean, free-flow combat, they are basically... They designed.
Pretty much.
And everyone uses it now.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, they must totally want to kind of get away from that and show, hey, you know, we can do more.
Yeah, they'd do something totally different. I reckon it'd be
but
weird.
But then what if what they do just isn't as good as that? And it's like, you know, do you hone that? It's like, what do you do, like, you know, when you're the first person who made a game about that has, like, regenerative healing, you know, or knee-high walls to take cover behind?
Yeah, yeah.
you know, if you do it well, like, why do you necessarily go away from that?
And it's hard being a game developer. Like, it's hard. I couldn't imagine being faced with that kind of pressure, especially after being, you're successful, and then it's like, oh, great. Now what?
It's like, especially if you're this sort of head creative, you're this visionary at the top of something, because... You might have a vision, but that vision might not line up with what the skills or what the experience is of, you know, the hundreds of people that work underneath you. Like, you've got hundreds of people who have been honing and making...
A specific thing.
Yeah, for Batman, yeah. for combat, for movement, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And you suddenly go, you know what?
Racing game.
Yeah, I want to do a racing game. People loved the Batmobile in Arkham Knight. It was so well received. Let's do a racing game.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so who knows? Like, I'm definitely curious to see what they
how
do.
How great would a Rocksteady Assassin's Creed be?
Sick. Seriously?
Yeah.
Eh.
No?
Eh.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a lunatic.
I mean, it would be, you know what? You know what that game would be like?
And make me Assassin's Creed.
You know what a Rocksteady Assassin's Creed game would be, Badia?
Batman?
It would basically be an Assassin's Creed game. Yeah. It's already an open world game where you climb stuff and beat people up. Like, if you're going to pick someone else to remake Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
It's like, oh, dude, what if. Okay, go with me on this. What if Rockstar made Saints Row 5? Crazy. Crazy. What? Imagine Rockstar
okay, that's fair.
Making
that's fair.
A game Shut up. Okay. about an urban gang hanging out Shut in up. An American city.
I get it. You're right. Damn it.
That doesn't happen often, folks. Badia says the words, damn. You're right.
I just want you to shut up.
Hey, this will cheer you up, Badia. Yakuza 6.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
I'm so jazzed. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, give us the other ones first, but all right.
I know, right?
Just kidding, we have the other ones.
Do we have them all in Australia, we have, though? Yakuza 5's not here yet.
We have, there were five. I don't think we have five yet. No, we have five.
Do we?
We have five. We don't have five.
I'm going to talk you through what's happening right now. Badia is, like, his head is leaning right back, and his tongue is actually, it's actually thrashing about wildly.
Okay. I'm better. I think I'm better. I don't think we have five, because I played 3 and 4.
Yeah.
We don't have five.
No.
So we need five, and we need the one that was set, like, back in the day. There was one set in, like, feudal Japan, and then there
back
was...
Back in the day.
Da day.
That's a specific date.
And
there,
now they're remaking, I think, the first one. Oh, it's all happening. And actually, you know what? We're not going to get any of it.
We mentioned Rockstar just now.
Mm.
Here's a new one. This Grand Theft Auto documentary, or docudrama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been following the, you know, it's gone to air now. Have you been following the fallout from it?
No, I haven't. But I've heard that it's been very interesting.
Apparently, it's terrible.
Yeah,
I've heard. It's appalling. It's sort of just ham stuff up for drama. It's
apparently
they make Jack Thompson, you know, the guy who famously just ruthlessly campaigned against Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
They make him, like, the sympathetic sort of guy on a moral crusade, and then Daniel Radcliffe, who plays, you know, one of the houses, from Rockstar, he's just this, like, really angry dude who doesn't seem to have a life outside of games.
And apparently, he'll any bit of dialogue that he has in the episode, I guess, is only used to develop the story. There's no actual, like, building of a character at all.
He just not for him things, at all. Like, yeah. It's literally just like you only ever see him in the office. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have a life. He goes back to. There's no building outside of that.
I mean,
and it seems like they almost portray games like they do cause violence. Apparently,
no,
like. I saw a GIF on Kotaku of the guy who actually did play, you know, a bit of GTA and went on and killed some people that sort of started the whole court dispute.
Question.
And it's just like this close up on his face as he starts sort of, you see the anger start to come into him. It's like he's just there playing games. It's like, oh God, something's it's taking hold of me.
Oh God,
it just looks so bad.
That's...
And Rockstar actually, they tweeted about it, which was pretty great.
What'd they say?
They tweeted at the BBC, was Basil Brush busy? What exactly is this random made up bollocks?
That's the best.
How good is that?
That's the
from
best.
The Rockstar Games account.
Oh,
too,
that's
which is priceless.
Hilarious. I love it. Good God.
I feel like they won, to be honest.
Certainly.
I feel like they won.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I feel we're going to have to watch that, right? I feel
Are
like we should all watch it.
Should we?
I think we should.
Well, we could not.
Maybe we should make our own docudrama.
Oh, we should.
What should that be
Let's
about?
Let's call it Indie Game.
Behind the scenes of the Dinklebot recasting.
Yeah. Actually, no, let's make it a documentary about Rocksteady making Duck Hunt a racing game.
Okay, that's not happening. That's not happening. Let's go to some music. This is Ground Zeroes. Then we're going to come back and talk weird games.
Weird.
Here we go.
But yeah, here's one for you. Okay. I want to talk weird games, all right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, when I actually sort of started making a list, they sort of came and jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to get started. So, knowing that you probably haven't put much thought into this yourself.
Correct.
What is the weirdest game you can think of, excluding Metal Gear Solid 5?
Literally what I was going to say. I would say it'd be something like Banjo-Kazooie. That game is
really?
It's really weird.
Is it that weird?
Well, that's the first thing that pops into my head.
I mean, is it that weird to have a game about an anthropomorphic... What's weird about Banjo-Kazooie?
The fact that the bird is just chilling in the backpack.
I mean, that's pretty weird.
Admittedly, actually. That's probably not the weirdest part about it, but it's always a question I've had, like, is he against his will? Like, where is he going once he goes inside?
It's a she, first of all.
Oh, whatever.
Which makes it less weird.
Does it? Does it make a difference?
Sure, doesn't it? I said it did.
So that's kind of weird. What is happening in that game? Concrete Giant Fur Day is also super weird. I'm just trying to think now. My head.
All right, I'll throw one at you. This might. I reckon this will sort of
open my eyes a little bit.
I was going to say inspire you a little bit.
I hope it does. You know? I hope it does.
I'm going to go with Goat Simulator. Super weird fucking game.
It's so weird.
That is a strange game.
Is it a game, or is it a big old practical joke that someone's playing on us and they're at home going, how are we this rich?
Have you played Goat Simulator before?
Yeah.
I bought it on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I've played a total of maybe 40 minutes of that game.
So you've played the entire game?
Yeah. I mean, I just sort of did stuff. And that's the extent of the game.
And then there was like the zombie DLC, which made every, like, it was...
Oh, that played that.
No, there was that.
The
there
new
was...
version, yeah, because obviously everything needs zombie deals. It's not a game unless it's had zombie deals.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that was the point. I feel like the whole thing is just a big old social commentary that we're all buying into.
Are we the goat?
Maybe we've been the goat all along.
Maybe the goat was inside you. The goat comes from here, buddy. It comes from the heart. You know, looking at my list, there's a lot of animal-based ones. I also had Echo the Dolphin. Did you ever play that on Sega?
I love that game. I know the game.
But it was super weird.
I just thought of one.
What?
Viva Pinata. Remember Viva Pinata?
Yeah. I've been playing it recently.
Why? What?
It's on the Rare Replay.
So weird. Yeah. You just go around as a bunch of pinatas and like copulate.
It's like a gardening sort of simulator with pinata animals.
With pinata animals? Like, what?
Yeah, that is a weird game. And just when you kind of acclimatize to the weirdness... Mm. You get introduced to a new member of the local village, which is where all the people live who come and like, hey, there's Seedos, who gives you seeds to grow your garden, and has no shortage of puns on the word seedy.
Good on him, though. He's a bloody trooper.
But it starts off with just people in weird, vibrant costumes, and then by the end, it's just like a person with a letterbox for a head, some guy has a tap on his arm for no reason. What is this?
Why not?
It gets weird.
Yep. What else you got?
Oh, okay. I have... This is super obscure, but points to anyone who recognizes this game. Boogerman. This was a early 90s SNES and Sega Mega Drive game where you played a... He was a janitor by day, and by night he became Boogerman. It was just a platformer game, but his moves included burping, fighting, flicking boogers.
Oh, that's a classic move of his.
It was just a game that was totally designed to appeal to young, immature boys.
Amazing.
Which it did, and to an extent still does. So
still love it, still play it.
Still love him. In fact, I think he was like a DLC unlockable character in something at some point as well. Yeah, he totally was.
Boogerman.
I mean, yeah, I think the time is right for Booger. It was called Boogerman, a pick and flick adventure.
Oh, no. It shouldn't be.
Wow, it was the 20th anniversary of that game a couple of years ago. So, yeah, the time is right. That's right. He was in Clay Fighter, which is another weird game.
The hell is Clay Fighter?
You never played Clay Fighter?
No.
Oh, that was a great game. It was a fighting game, but it was like claymation. So it was like all of the characters were like sort of clay models.
Amazing.
Imagine Smash Brothers, but instead of like little toys that live in a box, it's clay figures.
I got another one.
Yeah.
Grim Fandango was super weird.
Yeah, I mean, that was weird.
I loved Grim Fandango. I think it's incredible.
It's a fine line between like something that's really stylish and something that's
you're
weird.
Because the point of that game is to be...
Like, you know what? I would say something that is weird is like WarioWare. That game was
super weird. Really good. I really love those games as well on the old DS.
I mean, when it comes down to it, a lot of the weirdest games that I pop into my mind are Japanese games.
Certainly.
Because they just have a really kooky,
Katamari
crazy...
Damacy.
That was on my list.
Yeah, it was.
And that is a great game. That is such an addictive game. Yeah. You didn't like that game?
Nah.
Oh, I'd, pl- I played the hell out of that game. Yeah, I got a. It was on the Vita, I think.
Sure.
And I just played. I 100%ed that
on the Vita.
Yeah,
amazing. That's so good.
It's a great game. The other thing I had was I always forget his name, but everything he makes is weird. No More Heroes.
Suda 51.
That's the guy. Yeah.
What was it?
Killer 7?
Killer 7.
Yeah.
No More Heroes. Yeah. What was the last? Oh, how about the other dude? The other Japanese, Swery, who made D4? Oh,
I never played D4, but you said it was weird.
It was so weird. He made D4 and he made Deadly Premonition as well, which was super weird.
What was weird about D4?
This was
the Xbox One exclusive
Kinect game, right? straight away. But it's like it was super you know, high energy. It was like someone's acid trip. You played this detective who could like go through time. Like it was just a really weird
go through time.
Something bizarre. Oh no! Like he would touch an item, like a relic or something from a crime scene, and he would be instantly transported to that crime scene to try to like save the day and find out who killed his wife or something. But then it ended on this like huge cliffhanger. I mean, there's air quotes, and then there's just no talk of a sequel or like a follow up. It was episode one. They called it.
Yeah,
there was no episode two.
I feel like that's going to be one of those weird. I think it's going to be one of those weird games that like you kind of forget about, and then 2 years from now they'll be like, "Oh, episode 2," and it'll be like, "What?
What?
That
people,
game?
People give a shit about this?" It was really weird. I enjoyed it just because it was, I don't know, it was something to do, and it was a couple of hours.
It was something to do.
It was a couple of hours, and it was like I got to use the Kinect for the first time, pretty much ever, and it was, you know, it was alright. I wouldn't recommend it, but yeah. It's fun.
Was that an indie game? Like, was that classified as an indie game? It was a download only,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, download only. Yeah, I guess it was an indie game. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, I guess it was
an arcade game.
It wasn't a full retail game.
I feel like indie games just have a permanent blanket sort of excuse clause for being weird. Like they're allowed to be weird. If you get something super weird that is a AAA, it's like, what is this? If it's indie, you kind of go, well, it's because of the territory.
Yeah,
totally. You know, you don't have this huge budget. You're being creative and kooky and crazy, like Octodad, which is another weird one.
Oh, it's so weird. That's a good one.
Anytime it's a game that you just can't explain to someone, like the concept is too weird, explaining what the actual gameplay is too weird. Yeah.
What about something like, I mean, this might not be fit into the category, but something like Fahrenheit or like Indigo Prophecy to other people?
No, I think it's just a bad game.
Fine line. It's a fine line.
Yeah. No, you know what? I quite like that game.
It wasn't
actually
bad. He did one before with David Bowie. Omicron.
What?
David Cage, the guy who made Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and
yeah, I don't care about that, David. Did you go back to the other one?
His very first game was called Omicron something, the Nomad Soul.
What did Bowie do in it?
He was the main character.
How did I not know that David Bowie was in a video game?
No idea. Omicron something, the Nomad Soul. I think, or maybe it's just Omicron, the Nomad Soul. Look it up. It's like, it's really bizarre. I've never played it, but it's like, it was his first
Omicron, the Nomads. It's just bizarre. There's a David Bowie video game. All right. Does everyone know about this?
I mean, I did.
Can we spread the word somehow?
We should have like a mass plank. We should do.
No, meetings should happen off that party.
I just had an idea for it, I think.
Well done. Well done. going back to.
That's a really good idea.
Going back to Suda. What's his name? Suda 51. 51.
He was born Mr. 51.
Mr. 51.
He added Suda later on.
What, he added Suda?
Yeah, he was born 51. And I don't know, man. I'm just
Do you know how names work, buddy?
I clearly didn't. Don't.
Well, so you're not born with a surname and then you just kind of...
Yeah, because 51 is a surname.
After a while, you give yourself a first name.
I name myself Badia.
This unit is named Badia?
This unit.
All right. The only game of his that I played was No More Heroes. Did you ever play that?
I didn't, but it was meant to be alright.
Like, the save system was would go in and sit on the toilet.
In the toilet. Yeah. That's right. That was a thing around that time.
And you're an assassin with this sort of laser sword, right? And
overly sexualized.
He's
like,
trying to, well, it's a Japanese game. Sure. And he's trying to, you know, boost his profile as an assassin. And then in your spare time, you do all these weird, like, chores. So, like, collect coconuts for people and mow the lawn. It was super weird. So you go from this like extreme sort of stylized violence,
badass assassin,
to like sitting on a toilet and then just collecting coconuts.
Hey man,
crazy.
In fact, I feel like, if you know how we said we would make a game and it would be really weird.
Yeah,
it'd be weirder than that.
Okay, we make a game. I say, Bardia, we've got to make this game, all right? Yes. This, yeah, there's bloody pen pushers over at video game company HQ. Yep. They're really breathing down our necks to get this game made. What ideas have you got?
I've got a couple.
All right, hit me with them. All no right. bad ideas. This is a, no one's listening but me. This is a free space.
You play a laundromat. Not a person, okay. A laundromat.
Okay? So you play as a sentient laundromat.
Yes. Well, no, you play, it's like a Sims type of game where you're like managing, but you're managing the laundromat, okay?
Okay.
But the laundromat is a front, okay, for, Ben, what do you think it's a front for? What do you think it's a front for?
I mean, my first thought is drugs or alcohol.
No, weird. Go weirder. I want weird.
All right, some kind of animal fighting ring, yes. But not an animal you'd expect. I'm going to say lice.
Oh, really good stuff. Like a lice fighting
ring. Yeah, because...
And it's a big deal.
Because lice and fleas, right? Because they come in on the clothes, right? Yep. And they jump off before the clothes get washed.
And you can choose either be a lice or a flea, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a first-person shooter.
So basically, it's Unreal Tournament, but with lice
in a laundromat. Yes.
But they can jump super high because fleas can jump like 30 times their body weight.
But lice are quick. You'll never catch a lice.
No. Oh man. All right. I hope you're writing this down. Yeah.
Let the money roll on in.
Copyright us? No. Yeah. We should absolutely
get on that. And no one else take our idea.
No
one's taking the idea.
No one. Look, let's get a song. Come back and then let's talk Metal Gear Solid. Sound good to you, buds?
Nah. I'm out.
No. All right. Leave. Bye. Just leave. This is Kept You Waiting, huh? Name of the track. You're in 2RRR 88.5 FM. Buddy, picture yourself, if you will. Picture yourself behind enemy lines, okay?
Ooh.
You're prone, watching troop movements go back and forth,
Hang on. Okay, yep.
Yep, all right. You just have one pistol, doesn't have a suppressor anymore. You Damn blew it. That. You used that suppressor up.
Damn it.
Okay, you need to get into this camp, extract a prisoner, get out without getting spotted.
All right? I can do this.
Just over your right shoulder, there's a goat. Okay.
But maybe I'll do that first.
What do you do?
I take out my pistol.
Yeah.
I look at the last remaining bullet that I have. I immediately stand up and strap a balloon to the goat. My job here is done.
Well, good job, Snake. Mission extraction.
Come on home, soldier.
That is how I would sum up Metal Gear Solid 5.
Well, cigar break.
It is a super strange game, but really fun. I would say, like, the phrase I've seen bandied around a lot is open world stealth game.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not offended by that.
And I can't think of any other games to really put in that category, but this one just has it down.
Yeah.
I mean... kind of maybe Assassin's Creed or there's open world games that incorporate stealth, but this is like a full on espionage stealth open world.
Yeah, well, I mean the mechanics pretty much unchanged in terms of like what you know AI and stuff like that from the original games. All that's changed is that they've now put you in this big open world where everyone wants to find you and kill you. A lot has changed though if we're talking about the differences between previous iterations of the franchise and now, and maybe we should talk about some of those before ripping into the review. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like that's part of the review, buddy.
I think we should
talking about the changes.
So, I'm a huge Metal Gear fan.
Yeah.
Huge, right? Like, I played them all, love them all, and this is the first time, the one on PSP was probably a little bit similar to this as well, but this is the first time that it's been... Everything's changed. The mechanics have sort of changed. The world has sort of changed. Whereas in the other ones, it was sort of like an A to B sort of linear sort of game with the story.
Yeah, there's no stealth corridors and having to time it with enemy patrol patterns.
No.
Like, it's entirely free and open.
This game, it is an open world where you infiltrate and exfiltrate exactly however you want. Whereas in previous games, in 4, 2, 1, 3 even,
the recommended playing order, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 8,
even.
What?
But, I mean, it is Metal Gear Solid. Recommended order is, no one cares.
Recommended orders don't play any.
Shut up, you're unlimited. They're all brilliant. So this is the first time where you can actually, like, you know, you don't have to go from A to B and let the story unfold. You can you can do it at your own pace. And there seems to be a little bit less story being forced on you in this game, which is something that Metal Gear Solid, I guess, has been notorious for. Metal Gear Solid 4, obviously having over 2.5 hours of cutscenes.
Yeah.
One of which lasted, you know, a good 70 minutes. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm really into it. I really dig it.
I think that focus on gameplay is the strongest thing about this game. And it's, I mean, I'm not a Metal Gear Solid fanboy. I played a bit of 4. I've dabbled in Sons of Liberty years ago.
Yeah.
And I played Ground Zeroes, of course. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like just the focus on gameplay makes this way more accessible.
Totally.
You know, there is story to be had.
Yeah.
But even the way they presented the story this time, it is accessible if you're sort of new to the series. They go to a decent enough length.
Mm. And it's a new enough
to kind of give it context and stuff.
Yeah, and it's a new enough story, and it's like, it's not like if you were to jump into playing Metal Gear Solid 4 without having played 2.
Yeah.
You would have no idea what's going on.
And like, I think the best part of that is the fact that it starts off with your character waking up from a coma.
Classic.
And he's still kind of, he's been in that coma for 9 years. Mm. He's trying to adjust to the way the world has changed. So a lot of the story that he's getting from other characters involves, hey, here's what happened in the past, and here's what's happened in the last 9 years. So it was a clever way to kind of...
Yeah.
It's like, while I tell you about the last 9 years, let's just do a recap on all the other story stuff that's also relevant.
And you've just touched on probably my first gripe, and one of my only gripes of the game, but one of the biggest ones, is that it's a story that he's getting from... Main character is getting from other characters. He doesn't speak much. He doesn't do much, which I miss. Like, I miss having Snake sort of involved a bit more in the story. You know what I mean? It seems to just be happening, and he's...
I don't mind that, because he's... I mean, I feel like he's very involved when there's a big cutscene. And the main cutscenes only sort of happen when you have... you do the story missions. Mm. A lot of the missions, like side ops and stuff, aren't there. And I just kind of like the silence of Snake, because it just lets you fill in the blanks yourself, I guess. Which, for an open world game, I think is more important than having an obnoxious character constantly
talking. I guess it's different. I mean, you're right. It is an open world game in that sense, and I'm sort of coming at it as a Metal Gear Solid game, and it's like, really very different.
To give it a weird comparison, Mad Max, which we reviewed last week, and I enjoyed that game, but like every time you pick up a collectible in that, he says something about it.
Yeah.
Oh, don't remember the word in the world was better than this or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that Snake doesn't. I like that he's just this constantly stoic soldier. Like every time he picks up a cassette tape, he doesn't go, "Huh, good song. I dig this.
This is my jam.
Hey, Take on Me by Aha. All right.
Take
on Me." Now, if he sang to the music, that'd be different. I'd be a lot of that.
So that's one of the things that I'm sort of a little bit have gripes with. And the other one is probably the separate... I don't even know if I have an issue with this, but they've separated up the missions now. So you mentioned side ops and like your main stories.
There's a lot of side ops.
And that's like basically your bonus missions, I guess, which help you in the long run, but they're not part of the main story.
Mm.
And everything's sort of, you pick from a list, you know, and you pick the one. And this is what they introduced gameplay-wise in Peace Walker, the PSP Metal Gear Solid, which was great for a handheld portable device. Mm. And now they've brought it into, obviously, this AAA... console experience, and it's fine. It's just, again, it's different, and I'm a little bit, you know, how I feel about change.
It's a weird one too for me, because on one hand, the stealth aspects, like when you're in the middle of doing a mission, it's so exciting.
Oh.
When you're like, you've crawled your way into the heart of this enemy base and you haven't been spotted yet, and it's super tense, and then all of a sudden a truck rolls up and more guys get out.
Yeah.
Like, that is done so well. And I love the freedom that you have in how you approach those missions.
Yeah. And when things go wrong, like when those guys get out of the truck and one of them spots you, and it's like, okay, I have to now think on my toes. I got to like...
Yeah.
It's experience. It's a feeling I haven't felt in a game in a very long time, if ever. I mean, it's such a unique thing, as you say, to like sort of work your way into like the middle of this base and then...
And I think the open world thing makes that amazing, because it's so exhilarating to... just make it out of a camp alive, call whistle and have your horse rock up, and then just ride into the desert.
Yeah.
And that's like your... And then you can just go off and do something else. Yeah. Like, I love the freedom.
It's so cool. And the environments, I was surprised at how varied everything was. Like, different camps, different layouts, nothing's repeated.
See, that's what I was going to say, though. That I do feel like when you do start just working on all the side ops, it gets to the point where you just start going... Oh, I've done this mission a lot. I've done this before. Yep. I'm extracting another prisoner from
another
this
camp.
Yep. Well, I know to approach from this angle.
Yep.
And I know. And that feels weird to me after a while. It's sort of like you don't feel like you're behind enemy lines anymore so much as you feel like, oh, Camp B, huh? Okay.
I got it.
What if Terry's on tonight? Hey, Terry, what's up? Yeah, you just sort of, it's not, it doesn't take long until you start learning the patterns and stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You're right, especially when it comes to the side ops. But
it helps halfway through when you unlock, because you start in Afghanistan and then you unlock Africa,
yep.
Another big open area.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't like as much.
It doesn't feel as
open.
I don't know what free. It just doesn't look as nice either, I don't think. It's not as atmospheric.
I wish there was a fast travel option.
That is a huge pain for me.
There is, though. There is a fast travel option, sort of.
Yeah, except it's slow. The weird thing for me is when you're on Mother Base, you can call a helicopter and use the helicopter to travel to any other extraction zone.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in the field on missions, which makes no sense.
In the field,
You just have to go... You have to summon your helicopter to leave and then to choose to go somewhere else.
There's also a fast travel option. There are areas where you can rip off... Like, delivery areas where you can rip off an invoice. This is actually what you have to do.
What?
If you get in your box and stand underneath this orange platform, you'll deliver yourself to another area of the map.
How is that faster than... So what, relying on post... And the postal service is faster than...
Well, it happens immediately to you.
Faster than the helicopter that you have at your disposal.
Evidently.
That's weird.
It's so weird. That's weird. And some of the weapons in this game are super weird. Like, I want to talk a bit about...
The water gun?
Oh, yeah, the water gun. I want to talk a bit about Mother Base as well in a sec, but...
Yeah.
There's one weapon called the stun arm. If you hold it down and charge it up long enough and you have it at the max settings, you can actually summon lightning from the sky and it, like, takes out an entire base. It's like, what?
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
if
you level up the stun arm all the way,
yeah,
you can like summon lightning. You become a thunder god. it's really weird. But you have
I love that you can decorate your classic cardboard box with anime.
Yeah, and have people
ogle at it,
and then shoot them.
I didn't realize like when you level up your bond with your horse D-Horse, and you can teach him how to defecate on command, I just assumed was another weird little thing.
No, he makes the boom booms.
I didn't realize if you can do that in the middle of a road. You can actually create a hazard for cars and use it to stop cars.
It's so hilarious.
It's amazing.
So the other mechanic is they have Mother Base, which is sort of like your home base for everything. It's you build it up, you build an army, you build like this like military group. And they've within that incorporated this multiplayer element. So it's a place where you can go get downtime and talk to other supplementary characters and stuff like that. But it's also other players can invade your mother base and you can defend your mother base after a certain point in the game.
Mm.
And I think I haven't done it yet because I don't think I'm even I don't think I'm actually online when it comes to the game.
But the online's been on Xbox One particularly.
Yeah,
these servers have been all
really weird.
Shop.
Yeah. But could be really cool. That could be super cool.
It's an interesting mechanic.
Yeah, totally. And the online element, Metal Gear Solid Online trailer, just dropped from TGS a couple of days ago, so that's going to be happening real soon.
It's definitely interesting. There's a lot of promise in there, too, and collecting soldiers and resources and building up Mother Base is the best part of the game, I think. You really do feel that sense of progress. And then just being able to chill out on Mother Base, drive around, look at the stuff you've built, my favorite thing to do... increase the morale of your troops by just beating the crap out of
them. Just punching
them
in the face.
It's
great. Love it.
Apparently, it's just a great joy to them.
Yeah.
Like, I ran up behind one, got him in a chokehold, and he went, "Even just to be helped by you is a tremendous honor, sir." Which was great.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's a really fun game.
I love it. I think it's incredible. It's certainly the best playing Metal Gear Solid game since ever.
Yeah.
Like, it plays the best out of all of them.
Yeah, I do think, I'd have to say, that, like, the biggest flaw for me is that stuff sometimes does feel a bit samey.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, when it starts to feel that way, that's generally when I just turn it off, walk away, do something else.
And then
I'll find, like, a few hours later, I'll just be craving Metal Gear Solid again.
Totally.
So, it just, that says to me that the core experience is so solid that... yeah. accidental too. That it's such quality that it's a good game.
Right,
you know?
I agree.
And I think people's experience is going to vary based on their opinion on stealth games and what have you. But look, it was a great game for me.
Amazing for me. I loved it. I love every part of it. But my only gripe, I would say, would probably be I'm missing a bit more of a. I want more of a story.
Yeah,
a little bit more of a story.
All right. Look, let's go to some messages. Come back and say goodbye. Well, that brings us to the end of the show.
It does.
Thank you for coming on. As always, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Big Head Mode, RRR, Bing Bang Bomb, website, bigheadmode.com.au.
Come to Bonus Stage.
Come to Bonus Stage, Saturday the 26th, 8 p.m. at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney. Matt Kelly's up next. We're going to play you out with a Phantom Pain from, I forget which game
Viva
it's from,
Pinata?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Till then, see you guys next week.
Bye.